Well, if you were listening last week, or if indeed you were at the Outpost this week, perhaps you got a chance to see and hear the Glass Key Trio in their Albuquerque debut. This group came by, laid down some really tasty material for us, and we did not have time to complete the conversation, much less play you one more original Jeremy Blake composition. So let's go to that now. Once again, Glass Key Trio are Paul Brown, upright bass, Milton Villarubia III on drums, and Jeremy Blake on acoustic guitar, composer, and he'll be introducing this next piece. Stay tuned.
Next tune is a tune that was really the first tune that I wrote for this particular trio, the Glass Key Trio, I was listening to a lot of I always feel funny saying this, but I was listening to a lot of John McLaughlin. There's a record called My Goals Beyond. Do you guys know this record? It's like it's all acoustic guitar. It's like right when he was kind of coming out of the Mahavishnu thing. And it's incredible music, and he's an incredible musician. And I always feel funny just talking about him because I don't feel like I'm anywhere. I should be mentioned in the same sentence as John McLaughlin, but he very much inspired this tune. And it's called Old Hotel. And the title, I mean, I was trying to invoke kind of like this kind of folk, we were calling a folk jazz noir, the kind of genre of this music. I don't know how much that applies to what you're hearing, but so the idea of kind of like an old hotel, something maybe an abandoned old hotel.
Thank you.
Now, I remember when the last time that Milton and Jeremy were together, it was part of the 10-11 piece band, the Miltones.
Right.
And I think he recorded eight tunes. Five of them were essentially covers, and then Jeremy was introducing some new music, and the music had a Balkan stamp to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're blending, Milton. You're out of New Orleans, so you can play that style and that very big muscular kind of drum style, but that's not what we heard today.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Jeremy and I go back a ways, where he visited New Orleans before we had even played together, and I hosted him at my house. And then the relationship developed from there. But, you know, I was really kind of a jazz nerd that would like hear about people playing with people and then research the Sidemen, like things like that, right? Like the classic jazz thing. Mm. But then I started doing it with Jeremy's world, like the world that Jeremy was gigging in and performing in. And so I would hear about these stories about tours or whatever, and I would research these people. And so I think, in a lot of ways, just like being friends with Jeremy and developing the relationship has created this thing where, like, I kind of know, I feel like I know what Jeremy's going for. And in a lot of ways, I feel like he writes things that are specifically geared towards what he knows that I do best.
Mm-hmm. And in your case, Paul, you have a whole other reputation as a bass player working in Balkan music and in serious folk music from the region.
Correct. Dance music of all the Balkans and Turkey, specifically also, all the different styles, all the different regions. I play bass with a lot of the people who have come over from those countries when the walls have fallen or whenever moved to New York and there are communities there. These are world-class musicians on folk instruments, and they come and teach at camps, and I'm hired to be the house bassist for these camps.
Mm-hmm. So this means that among the three of you, how many time signatures do you have down? I mean, do you call them by
all
number,
them?
Or
yeah,
do you give them? Them
well,
do you give them names?
Define down.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, in Balkan music, dance music, I mean, in general, but Balkan mm-hmm. music, Arabic music, Turkish music, there's a variety of asymmetrical meters that are kind of these dance rhythms, right? So they have a specific way of playing them. And there's names for each one of these meters. Like we would call, you know, a certain meter, like 10, for instance, is...
Well, in Turkish, it'd be a Jurjuna.
Yeah, Jurjuna.
You know.
He's the professor over here.
They all have specific dances that go
they do, exactly.
with them. And I learned that going to Barbez, you know.
Right,
And I would try to join in and dance with these folks in mm-hmm. Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then one misstep and you step on a lady's ankle next to you.
Right.
But you learn your odd meter pretty well by dancing it out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and it's a very specific kind of, since they're asymmetrical meters, there's going to be some combinations of threes and twos, groupings of threes and twos, that are very specific.
And consistent through the tune
yeah.
to help with the dancers.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's very interesting to me, and I play oud and more Arabic kind of style oud, but and spent some time studying Balkan music, but I wouldn't compare what I do to that normally. Because although I've learned enough from that to kind of make the meters work, I mean, one of the things I always, you know, had a problem with is like when you have like jazz musicians play like on Green Dolphin Street in 7 or something, and it feels awful because there's no sense of that, you know, it's just like a weird meter
mm-hmm.
and there's no dance to it, you know,
making it happen.
Yeah. It's like contrived in a sense. It's almost like an intellectual kind of exercise.
I kind of even think sometimes Take 5 or even Dave Brubeck, even though classic stuff of odd type signatures, but the pocket is not.
Yeah. It's not the same as when you listen to Balkan music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it can have the opposite effect. Once I was in New Orleans in a grocery store, and they were piping the Muzak in, and they were playing Take 5, but in 4, and I ran out of the grocery store. I refused to get my vegetables from that place. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not participating.
But I mean, so for me, I mean, the idea of odd meter or asymmetrical meter is something that I'm coming from more of a classical world, contemporary classical world, but I'm interested in what feels good. So it's not arbitrary. It's not academic as much as it is, you know, and it's not traditional in the sense that it's a set pattern that doesn't change. It's a lot of mixed meter and asymmetrical meter.
Does working sort of without the nomenclature of genre, does that open you up to being much more adventurous, or does it hinder you in terms of an audience who's coming to see you and expecting the glass key? We're going to hear spy music, or
Well, you know, it's funny because to me the idea of genre has become almost like another. It's more like a tool. Like the idea of style and is almost like a color, as if like a musician might play off a set of changes or might be interested in like bebop or something like that and throw themselves into that one thing. I feel like, you know, coming up with something or you know, going into a place that's like, you know, pulls on a specific style is something you can kind of throw on like a garment.
And thanks once again to the Glass Key Trio. That's Jeremy Blyke, Milton Villarubia III, and Paul Brown. You can find out about Jeremy Blyke's work, his last name Bleich. Most of it, you can go to grasshoppermusic.com. I believe that's sort of the one-stop shop. This is a group that performs out on occasion. They make a point of performing in the listening rooms, so you're not likely to see them at bars and probably won't play your wedding. Although you could ask, grasshoppermusic.com.